This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, we got you back here. Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, week three kicks off tonight. We're having a little fun with our Daniel Jones Survivor Contest. You can check out the poll because we had some disagreement, although it was vetoed. I'm just in a great mood. I want Amal Shaw to have a chance here. Let's go. Jared Goff or Daniel Jones at the Rap Radio to vote. We also retweeted it from the VSiN account on Twitter. Go get your vote counted. Who's a better quarterback, Jared Goff or Daniel Jones? Brandon Anderson can answer the question as we welcome in Action Network NFL writer. Brandon joined us during the NBA playoffs and did an amazing job. So looking forward to talking to Brandon throughout the football season as well. Hi, Brandon. Great to see you. And you've got a new feature over at Action where each week you're going to have picks for every game, every team. You're all over it. So we'll get into those. We'll throw some games at you. But I liked your write-up tonight for the 49ers and Giants. And part of your write-up had to do with the 49ers' 12 straight regular season wins and why maybe you shouldn't be afraid of that big number tonight.
Yeah, I'm really not afraid of the number. The Niners in those 12 games with those wins, they've won 8 of the 12, so 2 out of 3 by 13 or more points. I honestly thought this line might approach 13 as we had the week go along. We're getting all the bad injury news. No Saquon, probably. Andrew Thomas is out. The line is a mess. We're like benching the left guard, then benching the right guard, then bringing in a different right guard to play for the left guard. And I don't know what's happening, but I feel like Nick Bosa is going to also not know what's happening, but just be in the backfield a lot in this game. So it doesn't seem like a good spot for the Giants. It feels to me more like, all right, we saved the season. We did it, guys. We beat the Cardinals. Oh, geez, we got to play again 3 days later. Oh, no. So I just feel like this blowout city tonight, this is not a game I'm making big plans with all my friends to gather around and watch. The Giants last year were 3-7 when they played a playoff team. If you look at just against really top teams, like we think the Niners are, they lost by 40 to the Cowboys in week one, the last time they played a team like that. And before that, they lost to the Eagles by 26 and by 31. So I know there's some trends that like the Giants here, but this is a spot where I'm going to skip the trends and just play the blowout side. I like the Niners. Mine's 10, 10 and a half, whatever number you need to get it out.
I like that breakdown, Brandon. I want to go to an elimination game on Sunday. Chargers, Vikings, both teams come in 0-2. Right now, Vikings laying a point and a half, total 54 and a half.
Yeah, this is my Vikings. So it does feel like this is the ultimate kitchen sink game. I love these kitchen spot teams here, the 0-2s, but no good here. They're both 0-2. We know that if you go to 0-3, only one out of the last 99 teams that fall that far make it back to the playoffs. So it's going to both sides all in here. The problem is, if you're a Vikings fan like me or a Chargers fan, you just watch these teams, you know that what happens when these teams play is it comes down to some stupid, garbage, last-second, weirdo, bounce-nothing play. Because that's how every game happens with these teams. We have Vikings, 2 1-score losses so far this season. Chargers, 2 1-score losses so far this season. And if you go back to the beginning of last season, Chargers have had 16 out of their 20 games within 7 points. Vikings, 14 out of their 20 games within 1 score. So here's my creative way to play this one. I think this works for both teams. Self-loathing Chargers, Vikings fans, you're all in. Play the same game parlay. Chargers plus 7.5, Vikings plus 7.5, a.k.a. neither team wins by more than 7. I don't want money on either side. I don't know who's going to win the game. You don't know who's going to win the game. It's these teams never know what's happening. Just give me the points on plus 105. I get both of those sides, either team to win by 7 or less. Heck, they can tie it for all I care. I win that way too.
Patrick, creative.
Brandon's too nice, but he should have said to me based on my so-called question, he should have said, Amal, what's your question? I went full Tomlin on him in that one. It was a terrible question the way I phrased it. He should have done the same thing because the game is that bad as well.
Well, Brandon's a pro. He can handle it, Amal, no problem. And he just wrote about, we broke the news here earlier, Trayvon Diggs looks like he could potentially be done for the year. Brandon over at Action, you talk about how the Diggs injury affects the Cowboys' odds, futures value, season outlook. Give us a rundown.
Yeah, Dallas is my team this year, guys. That hurts as a Vikings fan, but I've been all in on Dallas. I got the division ticket. I got the NFC ticket, Super Bowl ticket. Dak MVP, I think there's still some value there. In fact, maybe a touch more value. Maybe the Cowboys give up a few more points and Dak has to actually air it out and go get some yards and scores. I think the immediate impact with Trayvon Diggs is not going to be felt a ton. This is why they went out and got Stephon Gilmore, right? They needed that second corner. So now he is the first corner. And the guy did win Defensive Player of the Year. So he's no slouch, but it's that trickle-down effect. You know, the whole problem with Dallas last year, well, not the whole problem. One of the big problems is they needed that second corner. Well, now they're back to needing that second corner again. The other guys who have played well all have to move up a slot in the pecking order. So to me, I'm not going to downgrade futures too much. I'm not panic selling, but this is the spot where you get to the NFC Championship, you get to the Super Bowl, and now is when you feel the pain of, uh-oh, now we're facing Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts, and now I need that second corner. Look against the Eagles, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Uh-oh, no Trayvon Diggs, only one Stephon Gilmore. That's the spot you need them in that big, big game. So I don't think I can buy more Dallas futures right now until I see them against one of the great quarterbacks. The problem is, part of the reason I like Dallas so much this year, they don't really have to face much competition in the regular season. So we might not really get a chance to find out our answer here until it's too late, unfortunately.
Brandon, should the Patriots be a road favorite over the Jets on Sunday?
I think so, because I believe the last time that the Jets beat the Patriots in regulation, it was 2011, and Mark Sanchez was the quarterback. So I know we got different players and everything now, but man, that is a long time ago. I don't want to play a side on that one. To me, this is all under. Either you want to go as a Pats fan, maybe you just take the Jets under, team total 17.5. Otherwise, I just like the game under, 37 and below. I know it gets to that number, and we say, oh man, all right, I thought under, but that's too low. I can't go under 37. Since November 2019, 37 and below totals are 18-5 to the under, 78%. And the five misses, we got a 38, a 39, a 40, and a 41. So we're right in that range. We're not going to see a lot of points. This is all defense game. And I just saw before it came on, we're starting to get some news about tropical storms out east, I hear, as well. So be safe out there. But man, you add in some weather on top of Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, give me under all the way, and I wouldn't wait around, because if we do have some weather, I don't even know how low this is going to get.
Yeah, the game's affected potentially. Buffalo, Washington, good job, Brandon. Indy, Baltimore, the Patriots, the Jets, as you mentioned, with that potential tropical cyclone coming in on Sunday. A game that's not going to be affected by the weather. Atlanta at Detroit. I'm bringing this game up because right now it's sitting on that key number of 3. However, the juice tells us it's headed to 3.5. Atlanta at Detroit, I'll give you 3 right now.
Yeah, man, I wish we'd get above the 3 again, because I took Atlanta. This was a pick that I did Sunday night on the Hot Read segment on our podcast, and Atlanta was plus 5.5 then. And this was always going to come down because we got a long injury list for Detroit that these are starting to pop up now. I don't know if David Montgomery is going to play. Looks like Amon-Ra St. Brown will play, but he's maybe got like a turf toe or something he's playing through. That could limit it. The line has some issues. That's Detroit's strength, really, that offensive line. So I think that's why the line has dropped down. I still lean Atlanta plus 3, but like you said, I think I'm going to probably wait out and get the 3.5 if I can, especially since this has moved so much. So I think there's a good spot for the Falcons. If you want to bet Detroit here, if you want to do a prop angle, assuming Montgomery is out, this is the spot for that Jahmyr Gibbs rookie breakout, right? So I don't see lines up yet because we're still waiting to see who actually plays at running back. But Jahmyr Gibbs last week had 7 catches for 39 yards on 9 targets, and he played almost half the snaps now. So I don't necessarily want the rushes, but I think that if, you know, Montgomery's out, Gibbs is out there a lot, maybe Amon-Ra is limited, give me some Jahmyr Gibbs receptions, receiving yards. I think that's the way to attack Detroit this week.
Brandon, do you upgrade the Carolina offense now with Andy Dalton catching 6.5 against Seattle, or, you know, stay the same is fair, but definitely not a downgrade, correct?
I mean, the market says otherwise, but I don't know that I can agree with it. That, you know, Dalton got announced as possibly starting and the line moved 0.5 away. And yeah, I kind of am with you on this one. I think I don't feel too bad with Andy Dalton. He's 62% ATS as an underdog of a touchdown or less for his career. And I think actually this is a good spot to buy on Carolina. I mentioned the kitchen sink thing. That's Carolina. They're 0-2. Nobody wants any part of them, but you guys know that's exactly when you have to bet on a team like this. And I think it's a really good matchup for Carolina against Seattle. Panthers have a really strong defense. I had them in my top 10 coming into the season. Brent Burns has been really good. Good after get off the passer here. So Seattle last year, when they faced a top half of the league DVOA defensively, they only went 2-6 straight up. They lost by almost a touchdown a game. Carolina is number 5 against the pass so far this year. And Geno Smith has not been good against pressure. Wasn't good last year. These teams just played in December. Remember, Carolina kind of tanking. Seattle made the playoffs. Panthers won 30-17. They dominated on the ground. Geno had 2 picks, 3 sacks. I'm taking Carolina plus 6.5, and I'm going to sprinkle the money line, too. I think Seattle is in danger here. I would not tease them. I would not take them as your survivor team this week.
Good information. How about that? It is going to be a popular, I would assume, survivor pick with the Seahawks. So, Brandon, we'll talk to you soon. Action Network. I think I heard you tell Dustin the article's dropping tomorrow.
Yeah, that article will go up every Friday. It's a pick for literally every team, every game. Basically, if I'm a fan of whoever, I got $10. I want to bet on my team. What's the smart way to do it? We got you covered. We got a pick for every single team.
Great job, Brandon. At Wheat and Brandon on Twitter. We'll talk to you soon. Awesome job over at the Action Network. When we return, we're headed to the Dog Pound, plus the Goff v. Jones drama heightens. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out the splits over at vsin.com/subscribe. Of course, the betting splits, easily sortable. And then also, when you sign up and become a member, for $19 right now, you can become a pro and you get the picks, easily sortable, host and guest, top VSiN expert leaderboard. It's all there. We email you every single day the picks. $19 to start, vsin.com/subscribe. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. As week 3 kicks off tonight in San Francisco, Daniel Jones, and of course the Giants at San Francisco, that number is 10.5. We'll continue with the Jones drama in a little bit and kind of wrap the show with the Daniel Jones survivor. Right now, we're up to 12 quarterbacks that are better than Jones, consensus-wise. We've got the poll hanging out there at the Rap Radio, Jones v. Goff. If Goff ends up winning the poll, we'll add him to the mix. That would be 13. But I think the point is starting to get proven, and that is Daniel Jones potentially kind of one of those, you know, if we get to 16 on him, that means he's right there smack dab in the middle as far as NFL starters. We shall see. Let's get to the Dog Pound, though, and this is interesting. Good job by Dustin. As far as, oh no, please don't do that. As far as, like, we're trying to figure out, we got a small dog, it's all money line, a mid-sized dog each week, and then a large dog. Okay, we're taking chances, we're taking shots, and we're forced to pick on the money line. Amal Shaw, you're first up with your small dog.
Well, I just asked Brandon about this particular game. I thought the wrong team is favored, and that's the game in New York, or actually in Jersey, technically, between the Jets and the Patriots. I like the Jets here, plus 120. Look, I'm going to end up probably getting slaughtered like I did the 1 year bet in the Baltimore Orioles when they were due, and they were due, and I ended up crushing half my bankroll. But you know what? I'm going to take the Jets here, Patrick. Plus 120 money line. They beat Mac Jones, and they end the 14-game losing streak against New England.
Did you just do a New York Jet Baltimore Oriole corollary out of nowhere?
The 1 year when Sammy Sosa was there, I kept betting the Orioles, like, oh, they're due. They'd been playing well the first 3 months of the year, and they went, like, you know, I don't know, 6-22 in August, and I think it was on 21 of those losses.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, I'm going to steal this one. I thought you two would actually have this one. And maybe not a mall because of the Florida State love, but I'm going to go Clemson. And look, Clemson against Duke. Duke's legit, first off, but their goal line execution was all-time bad. And it's a new offense, maybe starting to gel a little bit. Again, it's Charleston Southern and Florida Atlantic, where they dropped 66 and 48 respectively, so I'm not going to go crazy. But Florida State is living off that second half against LSU. if we're being honest. They should have lost against Boston College, and Boston College is stanky. And the defense there, Florida State, some questions, specifically that pasty that made Boston College look effective. I love Dabo at home as a dog, just as a dog in general at Clemson. He's 11-4 ATS. He won 9 of those 15 straight up. So give me Clemson in a desperate spot, which they haven't been in years in Clemson, South Carolina. I think their defense and run game ends up winning this. Also, the motivation of kind of having their backs against the wall, being dogs at home. I'll take Clemson plus 114. Big guy, you're up.
Real quick before Dustin goes, I would add one other thing to it. If you like Clemson in this game like you do, Patrick, I would take a look at Clemson to win the ACC. Yes, they do have the conference loss against Duke, but they're plus 520. If they win this game against Florida State, you have a great opportunity to be able to get a team that can navigate the rest of the ACC schedule, get to Charlotte, and win the conference championship game. Not going to get a better price on a team like this than 5-1.
There you go. Like it. Get out in front of it before that number moves if they were to win. Well done. Dustin, Washington State plus 136, your small dog.
Yeah, so the small dog I'm going to adopt here for the dog pound, they host Oregon State. And I think we've all liked what we've seen from the Beavers so far. Offensive line's great. DJU has looked awesome. But to paraphrase, they ain't played nobody, Paul. They haven't played anyone. In fact, they didn't cover against San Diego State, who has zero offensive attack. I thought they were going to demolish the Aztecs, and the offense just looked okay. Maybe they were waiting for this one. But they have to go on the road to Wazoo. And Washington State beat Wisconsin at home. I also think that Cam Ward is perhaps the most underrated quarterback in all of college football right now. I think this line should be closer to a pick 'em. The fact that I can use them as one of my dogs here at home in conference against Oregon State when they have more continuity, and I'm in love with their offensive coordinator. You would think I'd remember his name at this point, but he comes in from Western Kentucky. He's 27 years old. He's innovator, and that Western Kentucky Hilltoppers offense over the last few years has been awesome. He now has a weapon in Cam Ward, a good defense. Oh, by the way, Washington State in week one beat up Colorado State 50-24. Based on what we saw from Colorado State last week against Colorado, I think that win actually looks a little bit better. They beat Wisconsin at home. Give me Washington State plus $1.36.
Good play on the
Blues. Said Arbuckle is the OC?
Yeah.
Sounds like a cast member in Yellowstone, doesn't he? Like, you got to go up there and check out the ranch with Arbuckle and see what's doing.
Have you watched it yet?
Yellowstone?
Yeah.
No.
Come on, dude.
I don't try full series.
I don't ask questions.
It's perfect television.
It's fake.
It's perfect.
It's made up.
No, it's awesome.
We are officially, you're going to be in your 40s soon, bro. Eventually, you have to give up on fake TV. Life is only literally, it's short. Trust me, I know from what's been going on. You never know when it's curtains. You can't just sit around and watch Costner in a fake TV show. What kind of attention span do you have? Boring.
TV is literally my third best friend.
Hey, by the way, I've got a situation at the house where like there's a sink that has an issue. And I think the two of you are with me, so don't pretend to be handymen here. But there's a guy named Jerry that's supposed to fix my sink. And Jerry keeps on writing me, asking me if I have specific tools to fix the sink. I don't even know what he's talking about. And every time I return a message to Jerry, who's the handyman, he writes me back like he's disappointed in me. Jerry, I have no clue how to fix a sink. I own no tools. I don't care what that says about me. That's just who I am. And by the way, my two partners, they're not exactly going to quit this job and become handymen either, right?
You should have told them you've already snaked the drain, and that's part of the issue right now.
I am a big-time handyman, but it has nothing to do with tools.
I knew that was coming. First off, I didn't snake anything.
That'll happen.
I didn't snake anything. I poured Drano 20 times down it.
Same.
Okay?
Same. That's and how I fixed everything.
It literally eroded the pipe. So the Drano that I kept pouring down it eventually eroded the pipe underneath. You feel me? And then it started leaking. And I called the landlord. I was like, you got a situation with the pipes. And they said, did you use Drano? I was like, nope.
It probably breaks your lease for agreement.
That. By the way, Patrick's right about one thing. I had a guy come over one time to do some work, and he's sitting there saying something. I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, the guy could have said, do you want to rob a liquor store? And I was saying yes so repetitively. I probably said yes to that as well. I mean, I don't even know what they're talking about.
Don't man and alpha shame me because I don't own the tools. That's why I'm calling you, Jerry. That's why you're employed. Zip it.
If I could do it, I wouldn't have called you.
Yeah, no kidding. Jerry, stop shaming me, bro. Do you want to get paid or not? Zip it. Mid-sized dog, Amal Shaw, you're up.
I'm going with the UCF Knights here. This is a team that went to Boise, got a win, and I get it's not the same thing as playing against Kansas State. But remember, Will Howard, the quarterback for Kansas State, is not likely to play. That's a big concern when you're looking at it from a Wildcat standpoint. I think that could play a role in terms of how you see this team. Avery Johnson going to get the start here. Not a ton of experience behind him. I will go with UCF in a conference road game, plus 154.
There it is, plus 154, mid-sized dog. I'll go. I got 2 minutes. I got plenty of time. My mid-sized dog this week, the Tennessee Titans, plus 140, and I'll tell you why. Nick Chubb, as far as value, Adam Burks at 1.5. I think that's a good number because as far as a specific team, no running back matters more. Wins above replacement last year, he was that dude. And 53.5% of yards gained this year came through running the ball with Cleveland. That's the highest in the NFL as far as rate. The Titans run D last year was first in the NFL. Opponents yards per carry, they're second in the NFL this year through 2 weeks, just 2.7 on the ground. So the bottom line is, if Cleveland's not running the football, then they have to rely on Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is completing a very tidy 55% of his passes this year. Dramatic week, upsetting week for Chubb, not just Chubb, but the Cleveland Browns in general. Stefanski's going to have a tight booty trying to call plays without Nick Chubb. I love the spot. We know what Vrabel does, 22-15-1 ATS as a dog in his career. I love the Titans headed to Cleveland. Cleveland on a short week, covering the number and also, plus 140, juicy to me, my mid-sized dog, the Titans this week, big guy.
I got to tell you, I really like both of your mid-sized plays. I think they're both very strong. I'm very concerned about them with what I have coming up on the other side because I'm taking a risk at a little bit of a bigger price for my mid-size.
Speaking of mid-size, I felt normal-sized until Jerry started shaming me, and now I'm a mid-sized man, okay? Jerry, just fix the sink, dude. We're back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, the shows are clashing here at VSIN, and we've got a subscription contest going between the shows. So make sure you help us out. We're Sharp Money, and our code is SHARP. If you use that and we end up winning the contest, which would be wonderful, we get a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbooks to be used on Super Bowl futures, okay? Sweeten the deal. You're going to save 10% right now when you sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription using the promo code SHARP. Bragging rights and a juicy futures tickets on the line. It's time to bet smarter right now and help us do the same. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, use the promo code SHARP. We appreciate you. It's VSIN.com/subscribe. We're back. We're in the dog pound here on Sharp Money. We've got plays coming up, a ton of props on Thursday Night Football, kicking off week 3, San Francisco hosting the Giants. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. We'll also continue with the Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones Survivor Contest. Will he or won't he be above Jared Goff? A mystery will be answered coming up in just a bit. We've got 12 quarterbacks already ahead of Jones. Where does he fall in as far as the quarterback hierarchy in the NFL? Now we get to the mid-sized dog. Okay, so again, the dog pound every week where Amal, Dustin, and myself, we pick a small dog, a mid-sized dog, and a large dog on the money line and have a little fun. Georgia State coming up tonight, big guy, 2-1. That's your mid-size.
Yeah, I should define it too. A small dog is anyone getting a field goal or less. A mid-size is anywhere between 3.5 to 6.5. And if you're getting a touchdown or more, you're a large dog in this deal. And I'm going to go with Georgia State playing tonight against Coastal. I like the over better as a bet, but I do see a world where Georgia State wins this outright. They're completely loaded on offense right now, ranked 34th overall. They can go shot for shot with Coastal if that's what this game comes down to. And I don't think Coastal is as powerful offensively as we've seen with them losing their head coach, Jamie Chadwell, and Tim Beck comes over. And I think he's maybe a little bit more conservative. They still have a good veteran quarterback in McCall. But I think Georgia State's on the up and up here offensively. And here's the difference is I really like Georgia State's run game. If somehow they can get a lead and Darren Granger, the quarterback, and their running back are Marcus Carroll is coming off 107 and 184 yard performances. If they can control the clock that way late, they could potentially win this game. So I'm going to go 2-1 Georgia State to win tonight over Coastal. A little Sun Belt upset on a Thursday night for you.
All white, but you do like the over. What's the total right now?
62.5. I think it's going to be a trap. I see both teams getting into the 30s. That's when you look at the last couple of years, last year, this game had 65 points scored in it and Georgia State wasn't nearly as good. In 2021, there were 82 points scored in it. Plus you add in the fact that there's a short week and Georgia State, I cannot reiterate this enough. They can't defend anybody this season.
Okay. Good job. Let's go to the large dogs. Amal Shaw, you're up first.
Going to go back to SEC country, kind of goes against my preseason notion of this team, and that's Alabama. I'm going to take Ole Miss on the road. I think Jackson Dart has really established himself as a dual threat quarterback. You look at this backfield, Bentley, the transfer in from SMU, Keyshawn Judkins as well. I think Ole Miss catching 7 here, Patrick, a big number for Alabama. I do think the Crimson Tide are in much better shape with Jalen Milroe back under center. I thought it was a huge mistake not letting Milroe play. He would have dominated South Florida, in my opinion. Like Ole Miss here, and I'm going to tell you why the money line is important in this game. I think if Ole Miss is in the game, they're going to win it. But I don't think they're going to cover 7, right? It's an outright winner, or they don't cover the 7, and I think the Crimson Tide covers 7. So I will take Ole Miss on the money line in this one.
All right, there it is. What's the price? I don't see it there on the graphic. Dustin, do you have the price on Ole Miss there
with
his large dog?
I will find it here.
It's all good. It's all good. I also have college football as far as my large dog.
225.
I got a price of 225?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Ole Miss plus 225 for Amal. Good one. I'm going to go plus 230. The number 7.5. We go, boys, to East Lansing. Can you explain to me on what planet Maryland's laying 7.5 on the road? They beat Towson, Charlotte, and Virginia's in total rebuild mode, all at home. College Park. This is, to me, this is interesting. Plus 245. It's jumped up from this morning. Okay, let's all take a deep breath. And that's exactly what Michigan State has done. Mel Tucker is a freaking weirdo, and he put his team in an impossible spot last week when they went to Washington and got bent over 41-7. Again, things have settled down in East Lansing. Take a deep breath. The talent is still there. The defense, Sparty Party, number one in the nation on third downs. Okay, the downfield passing game is legit at Michigan State. Pass rush good enough to give Talia, who ain't his brother, problems in the backfield. This is, again, a game where Michigan State has an opportunity to come back home after all of that drama and settle down. They've got a playmaking defense. They can get into the backfield. I think this is awesome. I think this is a great spot for Michigan State. They're going to be emotional. And again, it's Maryland. Maryland hasn't proven anything. They won 3 straight at home. Good for you. I'll take the plus 245 as my large dog. Michigan State, go green. Go white, big guy.
Wow. Wow. Gonna back Sparty. I love it. All right.
It's a Sparty
one here.
Party. It is also the place where, unfortunately, Amal Shaw, he is a straight razor, so plug your ears, where I probably threw up the most in my career as a human being, and that is East Lansing, Michigan. Shout to the Taco Bell. I won't even give the corners, but shout to that Taco Bell. I didn't even go to school there, but all of my dumb friends went to East Lansing, and I visited more than I should have, and that place likes to get down, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay, big guy.
All right. We all know I like to get weird. This next one's a little bit weird. So there's a program by the name of Sam Houston State. Sam Houston State, it's their first year making the transition to FBS from FCS. And they're not the traditional school in this role. Meaning last year in the transitional period, they redshirted their best players, their best wide receiver, a few other pieces on both sides of the ball so that they would be eligible for this run. And thus far, they have not scored a lot of points. They have scored 3 points through two games. However, they went to BYU and lost 14-0. They lost to what looks like now a really good Air Force team that the Sharps are on, that they were getting a lot of action for. I believe they play tomorrow against San Jose State. That line jumped a lot. So Air Force is good as well. They lost 13-3 to them. They then had a bye a week ago, and they sat back and they watched Houston play TCU. Houston is not Houston. And I love Dana Holgorsen, but the offense isn't there. They are a boring team that wins with defense right now. I could see this being a low scoring game, and Sam Houston with a week to catch their breath during their move to FBS, and all of a sudden things start to slow down a little bit for them. Also, it's a game they want to get up for. I don't know where Sam Houston State is located. I'm going to guess because Houston's in the name, it's probably in Houston or near Houston, and Sam Houston's probably the guy that invented the city of Houston. Amal, can you confirm or deny Sam Houston invented the city of Houston?
I don't think he invented it. Might have founded it.
That's the same thing.
Sam Houston.
Same thing.
Sam Houston, the dude, was the original governor of Texas before Texas became part of the Union.
So where is, we're doing this on the fly, state? Yeah.
Just north of Houston.
Huntsville.
Yeah. There's a state prison.
Every southern city has a Huntsville, by the way. Every southern state has a Huntsville and a Fayetteville.
There's a sign on 45 when you're in Huntsville that says, do not pick up hitchhikers.
Really?
Because there's a state prison right there.
Aha! You lose your car. Lose more than that. Anyway, Houston struggled to beat UTSA week one. They struggled and went to two overtimes with Rice in week two. And they lost to TCU as well. So they're 1-2 on the year. I think Sam Houston State could somehow pull off some magic at what, +350? Yeah, that's where we're going to roll with Sam Houston State. Go Bearcats.
Okay, there it is. The dog pound. Good job, boys. Small dogs for Amal Shaw. Okay, go ahead, Amal.
I'm going to tell you one to look at. I didn't play this. Iowa has a legitimate chance against Penn State. I'll take the 14.5 all day. Line's too high. Total's a little bit high, too, here at 43, I think it is. I'm telling you, Patrick, this Penn State offense is not great. It took a ton of turnovers and just a bad effort by the Penn State offense to win against the Illini last weekend.
Yeah, that was a boring game. They turned the Illini over, to your point, 5 times and pulled away in the second half. Penn State has a great defense. Illinois has got a pretty good defense, too. But Penn State ain't special on offense.
Well, and also they have the two good running backs. And if their game plan is, well, we want to run the ball down your throat, you're playing right into Kirk Ferentz's strength. That's what he wants you to try to run the ball against him, because he wants to stop that run. He's a psychopath.
What's up with this Nepo kid going nuts? Like, dude, no, take it easy, bro.
That was AI. That was a fake quote.
It was?
It was AI. It was 100% AI.
Yeah, but his son's still a buster.
His son gets a bonus if they average 25 points a game.
Yeah.
Okay. He got a bonus. He was born by Kirk Ferentz. That was his bonus. like his Ferentz got busy with mom, and then he popped out and became an offensive coordinator, whereas he wouldn't if he wasn't a Nepo son.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yep, but I do like the Nepo family first half catching, I think, 7.5.
I do. I like them all on the a little sprinkle on that money line as well. Penn State, not necessarily hanging with Michigan and Ohio State this year. My assumption would be. Okay, when we come back, the Daniel Jones Survivor Draft concludes here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sleepy vibes at Circa. Not only is Amal feeling sleepy, but the big guy for some reason today. You okay? You okay, big guy?
I'm in the process of getting you information for the next segment. And it has nothing to do with the dog pound.
All right. Take it easy, corrupt. $5, $200 instantly in bonus bets. You want that? You like that? DraftKings. Use the promo code SHARP. The crown is yours. This is for new customers. So week 3 bets, official partner of the NFL. That's DraftKings. DraftKings is killing it, by the way. You can find DraftKings on Roku, on YouTube TV, and you know what that stock price is doing? Going up. Keep doing it, DraftKings. Stacy, I see you. Len Mead, I see you. Let's go. Let's get that stock up. And you can get $200 instantly right now. Just go to DraftKings, download the app, and use the promo code SHARP. Okay, so we had a little fun today, and we played a little Daniel Jones Survivor. Now, the bottom line with this is the second half against Arizona was awesome. To be fair to the Daniel Jones detractors, it's Arizona. However, I've always been a Daniel Jones guy. He had to deal with Joe freaking Judge. He had to deal with Shermer. He had to deal with, it's been a disaster. He now has Daboll, and Daboll settled him down off of last year where everybody assumed they were going to move on. They paid him market value. People freaked out. He's not worth it. Remember, everybody freaked out when Dak Prescott got paid as well. That's just what happens. Next man up in this league, you end up getting paid. And also the reason you get paid, because there's a dearth of talent at the position on the planet. There's like 15 guys that are good at it. That's just the way it is. The quarterback position is hard. So we had a little game here. Daniel Jones Survivor. The veto power is real. I got vetoed on Geno Smith. I could tell Amal wasn't going to let it go with Jared Goff. So we said, you know what? Put that one up to a poll. Now, we asked you at the Rap Radio and at VSiN Live, who's the better quarterback, Jared Goff, Amal Shaw, or Daniel Jones? Who's the winner?
It is not even close, collecting, I believe it's 93% of the votes. Jared Goff.
Congratulations. So Jared Goff, Mr. Shaw, is number 13 ahead of Daniel Jones. Okay, take a bow. And next up, your pick for Daniel Jones Survivor. Who do you got?
It's getting dicey here now. I am going to go with Derek Carr in New Orleans.
I have to tell you, you just stole my guy, and I don't know if I have another guy. Derek Carr.
No, there's a couple more.
Okay, you go.
Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
So that's 14, 15.
I think Carr's debatable, by the way. I think Carr's debatable.
Patrick had it, so it's 2-1 on that one.
No, yeah, I agree. I think Carr's undervalued.
I'm looking at it. I got two more I can throw at you. Before you do,
can I give Jesus Christ props?
I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, but sure.
Well, the reason I give him props is because if you're like Derek Carr and you believe in the big guy upstairs, you're like legitimately the best guy ever. Did you see what Derek Carr did after McDaniels disrespected him? Literally was just like, get the hell out of here. Carr, after Las Vegas beat Denver, texted him and was like, hey, great job on the win. Congratulations. And that all comes down to Jesus, because the three of us, we would be spiteful. We would never write Josh McDaniels because we're not riding with the big guy. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking about converting. I'm thinking about a little more Jesus in our lives would help the three of us.
You don't need to convert. You were born that way. What are you talking about converting? Just show up to
church.
What
do you mean?
If you just show up to church, you're in.
Okay, I'm going to go then. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to church.
You're
going to
go on Sunday when NFL games are on?
Yes. He's now, what are you
going
to say?
He's going if they have the free gift, like when his aunt took him last time, right? There was a free giveaway. Yeah.
Aunt Julie. Yeah. Aunt Julie took me to church. Shout to Hosier.
She took
me to church, and I saw Kurt Warner and his boo thing speak. I don't remember anything they said. I just remember Kurt Warner stood there while his wife talked. But I did go to church. That's the last time I went to church, and that was in 2003. Okay.
Literally 20 years ago.
Do you guys have more to add to the Daniel Jones Survivor pile?
Yeah, I got two more we can debate, but I don't know if either of them belong. We can talk amongst ourselves. The first one would be Jimmy Garoppolo.
You know, I thought about that one as well. I will give a slight edge to the yes, just based on having made a Super Bowl and a guy that seems to be coveted by many teams every year.
I like Garoppolo. I'll say no, just so you can be the tiebreaker, Dustin.
I want to say no, but I think I'm going to say yes, because I think he loses less games than Danny wins. Like, I think Danny's skills are better, but I think Jimmy knows how to play the quarterback position and doesn't care about stats.
We have officially reached 16 in the Daniel Jones Survivor contest here on Sharp Money. Do you guys want to throw another name out there?
Brock Purdy.
One I thought of as well. Don't you have to go with yes? Are they really that much different?
I don't think Brock Purdy's better.
Maybe he's not, but I'll tell you right now, for 500,000, he's not 80 times worse than Daniel Jones.
All right. Are you guys freaking kidding me? Brock Purdy in Shanahan's offense, where he literally just he's throwing to the best skill in football. He's got Shanahan basically like puppeteering him with his hand up his booty. Like, it's Brock Purdy. No, I'll say no.
I'm going to say no as well. And then last one, Baker Mayfield.
Stop it.
I'm going no.
Yeah, I agree. I had to put it out there. Hey,
Amal, we weren't far off. I set the number. What did I set it at? 18 and a half.
Yeah.
He is 16. Just this side of average. The mean would be 16. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's 32 teams.
So he's better than CJ Stroud, Mac Jones.
For now.
Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, you can't judge that.
No, I know. Sam Howell, Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett, Ryan Tannehill, Geno Smith, Justin Fields, Jordan Love, Josh Dobbs, Desmond Ridder, Zach Wilson, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson.
He's the 17th best doing what he does on the planet, Daniel Jones.
You know what the one thing most of that list had in common? Everybody else you read off has 3 years or less in the league outside of a couple of players.
I don't count Daniel Jones' first 3 years.
Samich just texted. He's not accepting Daniel Jones slander. However, one of those names that you read, he has the third best quarterback in football.
Jordan Love.
That is Jordan Love.
He loves Jordan Love. He loves Love.
He loves Jordan. I wish I loved anything in life. Well, I would. Yeah, I wish I loved anything in life like Samich loves Jordan Love.
It's a true love situation between Samich and Jordan Love.
The only love that's greater is Derek Carr and Jesus. Other than that, not much. Okay, so 17. You know what? I think that's fair. Do you guys agree? I think he ended up. I think that's a rightful placing. I think our experiment worked.
I would agree with you completely. My only notion on him is that if he's not making $40 million, if he's making $25 million, we're not even having this conversation. I don't think he's a bad football player. At least I have a habit in the NFL of looking at guys based on what they're paid. If you're comparable to Patrick Mahomes and you're paid in the similar area code, I'm expecting similar type of output. That's all.
But that's just not how the market works.
No, I understand.
Yeah. Like, you're either a franchise quarterback or you're not. So if you are, you become the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. If you're not, you end up a free agent trying to work yourself, you know, as a backup somewhere to take over another job.
It's either not or it is a meritocracy. Basically, if you're next up at the position, there's simply just a number that agents point to and say, is he going to be your starter? He is. That's what he gets paid.
You're right.
And he points to the number and he says, either do that or another team will do that. That's exactly what happened. And I don't think it's fair to judge him tonight. We've got a million plays. You can go to VSiN.com/subscribe to get them all. I don't think it's fair. Would you guys agree to judge him tonight? Because he's going to be playing without a left side of his offensive front against the best defensive front in football.
You cannot judge Daniel Jones for 99% of his career because either Joe Judge or Pat Shurmur were involved at some point, or his offensive line has stunk basically every single game he's been trotted out there as a quarterback. Daniel Jones is a guy I'm going to defend until my death, and I'm still going to think I might be wrong about him.
Joe Judge is a legend for this reason. The ownership of the Giants said, you're good, dude. You're going to be back next year. Joe Judge was like, hold my beer. Let me go give this presser to end the season. And then the Giants ownership said, no, you're fired because of what you just did in that presser. You're a freaking idiot.
Meritocracy, government or the holding of power by people selected on the basis of their ability. Apparently it's meritocracy.
Yeah, it's not a meritocracy because his ability doesn't equal Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but I thought
my instinct was right. Not a meritocracy.
It was a combination of America and democracy, and it was a meritocracy. I thought it was
the quarterback position getting paid is communism, is what it is. All right, boys. Enjoy the football tonight. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. We'll see you tomorrow. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.